Get this and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road, and those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison of the grave. There's no other end, but they never learn.
Hi, and welcome to a Lady Sleaze cast, Stalking with Doc Sleaze. And, well, as you join me, I'm you're involved in a little bit of the titular stalking. So, that's what I like to do with this particular episode. Look at all the aspects of what we like to call it stalking, voyeurism, whatever, obsessional behaviour. Anyway, as I say, you join me right in the middle. I'm putting into practice. I think it's what we normally call peeping Tomery or whatever, if that's the right term. We're in the back of a property house here, and I'm just approaching the window, downstairs window. I mean, obviously I'm doing this in daylight. Normally you do this at night, but it's a bit more of a challenge, and you're more likely to see something at night when you're peering through someone's window, those chinks in the curtains and whatever. But hey, it's a Sunday afternoon, so you never know. Might see something. Yeah, here we go, just approaching the window. We're getting close now. I mean, I think television playing. I think you might be able to hear the television playing through here. I've got to be careful. There's enough space here in the blinds that get an eyeful. Well, there's some action going on there on the sofa. More than I was expecting. What drives people to do this? Do you know, one of the most popular stories I had up on the sleeves was called Peeping Tom TV. A story about a guy who basically does what I'm doing now, basically. Except he does it in a more sophisticated manner, with a camera recording his neighbour's attic and whatever, and puts it on the web and charges for it. Seem to strike a chord with readers. There's this great great desire, isn't there, to know what other people are doing. What do other people get to in the privacy of their own homes? Because we all like to assume that everybody's doing something, I don't know, perhaps more interesting than we do in their own homes. I don't know about you, but I certainly would be doing that on my sofa. Chance would be a fine thing. I'd just be watching the telly. I'm sat on my sofa, but yes, you know, we just like to know, don't we? It's that thing. It's probably why we read detective stories, because, you know, I mean, they like to call themselves private detectives. Voyeur is another word. They spend a lot of time watching people, you know, seeing around in cars, peering through either that or journalists, tabloid journalists, for God's sake. And I think I nearly saw me there. Anyway. Oh dear, yeah, ooh. Things going on there. So, as I say, there's also the risk, isn't there, the thrill here, the thrill of watching someone else at it without not having to be involved directly. It's and the chance of being discovered, of being spotted. I mean, that's always. Oh, I think things are sort of reaching a crescendo now. Oh, bloody hell, can you hear that? Right.
Here I come.
Oh, it's no good. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take a break here. Hang on a minute while you, I play you, a little song which immortalises the whole act of what I'm doing in popular culture. Mr. George Formby and the special version of When I'm Cleaning Windows.
Now I go cleaning windows to earn an honest bob. For a nosy parker, it's an interesting job. Now it's a job that just suits me. A window cleaner you would be if you can see what I can see. When I'm cleaning windows, funny moon in couples too. You should see them bill and coo. You'd be surprised how goes inside when I'm cleaning windows. In my profession I'll get right hard, but I'll never stop. The blushing bride, she looks divine. The bridegroom, he is doing the chambermaids, and I'd rather have his job than mine when I'm cleaning windows. Now there's a famous queen, one day I'm sure she'll drag me in and lock the door. She pulls my behind, then pulls down her nightist, and after that pulls down the blind. When I'm cleaning windows, in my profession I'll get right hard, but I'll never stop. When I'm cleaning windows, oh, in my profession I'll work hard, but I'll never stop. I'll climb this blinking ladder till I get right to the top. Pajamas lying side by side, ladies' nighties I have spied. I've often seen what goes inside when I'm cleaning windows. Such a swell, sweet names I call. It's a wonder I don't fall. My mind's not on my work at all. When I'm cleaning windows, ladies behind, 'tis I have spied. When I'm cleaning windows, in my profession I'll get right hard, but I'll never stop. When I'm cleaning windows. When I'm cleaning windows.
Okay. As you join me now, I'm engaging a bit of what's probably stalking in the purest sense of literally stalking, as in, you know, stalking as in hunting, perhaps. And it's following someone. Yeah. You know, this is the purest form of stalking. Following some unsuspecting prey, you know, in the case of a lone woman out on the streets, you know, and it's a case. The secret is to keep that safe distance, even when you're only the only two people on the street. You know, you've got to keep that distance. Look nonchalant, never give away. If she turns around and looks, I mean, don't do anything damp like a stop, anything like that. You've got to be sort of, I don't know, admiring some car parked by the road, kneeling down to stroke a cat or something, I don't know. Never look threatening. That's the secret. And when finally you sort of stalk them to their destination, hopefully their home, their front door is, you've got to casually walk on past. Not obviously registering the door they've gone into and the address and everything. That's the secret. Subtlety. But, so far, so good. No, we're okay. I thought for a minute there she might have suspected something, but no. Stalking. I alluded earlier to the fact is this the thrill of this thing about there's these glimpses into other people's lives. You know, this sort of stalking of voyeurism, and. Really, these days, it's all legitimised, isn't it, by things like reality TV, because that's all they are. Sophisticated form of... Oh, bloody hell, I tripped over something there. Gave myself away. People shouldn't leave stuff by the side of the pavement. Yes, it legitimises it. The things like Big Brother is obviously the purest example. We're watching all these people living in a house, cameras dotted about everywhere. I mean, if you or I were to do that and just forgot to, you know, put cameras in, hidden cameras in someone's house and forgot to tell them, obviously, that you've done that and watch them all the time, we'd be arrested if we were found out. We'd be filthy perverts. But really, reality TV is nothing different. It's really, we're in this age, really, of living vicariously. Yeah, to live a life. We don't even have to leave our own homes. We can watch it all and just watch somebody else's life on the telly. or online, all the proliferation of webcam sites and things. That's what it's about. Living life vicariously. This is the point with the stage. We don't even have to live our own lives. We can actually live someone else's at a distance. You know? This is what it's all about. And when you get to things like Second Life, there, you know, websites like that, not so popular as it used to be, I believe. But there you have the opportunity to actually don the mantle of another life if yours isn't interesting enough. And, you know, again, that's another form of living this other life, form of voyeurism, I suppose. Living life at a distance. How long will it be before we develop a technology where you actually can, see through another person's eyes, sort of feel their sensations and whatever, and perhaps people will hire themselves out like this, like a form of telepathic prostitution, whereby you can literally live their lives as they live them, and not having whilst you sit comfortably at home on your sofa, you'd have to go through all the mess and hassle of doing things like going on exotic holidays or booking these things up or falling in love, and you know, that sure goes to the hassle of actually having to seduce beautiful women and whatever. You can have someone else do it all for you, live it through them, quite literally. Because that's what it's all about. And like I say, it's the era of living life vicariously. But why do we always think there's somebody else living a more interesting life than we are? I mean, you know, why do we think our lives in this modern world are so dull and so uninteresting? I mean, you see it all the time. We are always obsessed with this. I swear that's partly the popularity of the proliferation of social media and social networking sites, things like Facebook, even Twitter. It gives you that chance to befriend someone, to have a little insight into their life and the hope that it's more interesting than yours, perhaps. And same with Twitter, you can sort of stalk someone at a distance by following their tweets and seeing what interesting things they claim to be doing, the interesting people they know and are talking to, particularly if they're celebrities. You know, again, it gives you a chance to try and vicariously enjoy that celebrity lifestyle. But the truth is that nobody's life is really that much more exciting than yours. The truth is that very few people are doing things like jumping out of aeroplanes and, you know, parachuting into places and living these, hunting wild animals and being chased by lions and things, or whatever else you think is exciting. Most people lead what we think are mundane lives, but in their own way, they're all perfectly exciting. You know, like now, this little thrill I'm getting here, following the oh, shit, she's turned round. Oh, hang on, she's coming back towards me. Bloody hell, what am I going to do now? Okay, love, no need for that. Bloody hell. Jesus, that stings. I'm going to beat a hasty retreat now before the police arrive. And, I think, you know, it's a bear in mind, of course. Let's think of the people who are being stalked here. Celebrities, they get stalked all the time. Even famous detectives like the saint, perhaps, he had problems, this fella. Got a fixation on him. You see, that's another side of stalking. We'll come back to this. They get a fixation on you, some people, and they stalk you relentlessly. I can't bear it when they think you've betrayed them by being with someone else.
Adventures of the Saints, starring Vincent Price.
You're Simon Templar?
I'm afraid I am. You seem to object.
Why was my wife here?
Your what?
Wife. And don't try telling me you didn't know she was married, you low individual.
I think you'd better tell me about myself inside, huh? Now then, you are...
James Gordon, and my wife was just here.
How do you know?
I saw her leave. Are you going to try denying it?
Well, not if you saw her just leave.
Oh, that's good. Now, if you don't mind, I'll take my coat off.
You're warm?
No, you can take a look at my wallet.
Thank you. Hmm.
Are you trying to pull my...
I've always thought that a highly overrated indoor sport, except, of course, in the right company.
What?
Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Mr. Templer.
Louis.
Louis. A half an hour ago you called. A half an hour ago I arrived. A half an hour ago I was still warm. I am now understudying an icicle.
Oh, Louis, I'm sorry. Come upstairs and thaw out. I have had company.
A blonde?
To start with.
What are you up to now?
Her husband.
I'll come up. I'll bring a large wrench.
I'd better run along. Well, I'm sorry I bothered you, Mr. Templer.
Oh, it's all right.
Thanks for your patience.
Forget it.
Bye.
Bye. Well, so much.
Okay, I'm in my car now. Decided it's a slightly safer form. A stalking here where I'm not going to be quite as exposed here. I'm sat in my car and I enjoy me. I'm watching the house of someone I'm stalking. So while I'm sat here waiting to see if anything, I've got my binoculars and the seat beside me and thermos flask and everything, because it could be a long wait, you know. It's a bit like doing a police surveillance sort of thing, one of those private eyes I alluded to earlier. Yeah, who use, you know, detection as a cover for the obsession of behaviour. But while I'm here in the car, let's have some movie musings. Not from my kitchen, from my car. So, we're sat here. What about film? Television? Well, I've already alluded to reality TV being a normalisation of stalking and voyeurism. But in many ways, film itself is the purest form of voyeurism, isn't it? I mean, it's presenting you with an insight into somebody's life, albeit a fictional life. But it's inviting you in, you're seeing firsthand things that you wouldn't normally see. Certain types of film you might watch for certain types of activity, certain slices of low life, perhaps, you wouldn't normally want to encounter. Yet this, again, allows you to vicariously participate in it, albeit only as a viewer. But surely that your very act of watching it makes you complicit in the act. And okay, we can just sit there and say, well, it's okay, because it's only fiction, it's not real. I mean, this is just providing you this thrill, just sort of satisfying this aspect of my character, this desire to see these things, to know about these things. But sometimes it becomes more problematic, like the Michael Powell film, Peeping Tom, is a case in point. Now, there's a film that when it's released was absolutely reviled by the critics, partly because it appeared so different to anything else he'd done before, but because they just thought, as they tried to basically dismiss it as this horrible, cheap horror film. I mean, interesting, it came out about the same time as Hitchcock's Psycho, which had a similar reception in some quarters, you know, a respected director suddenly directing what appears to be a horror movie. The point, of course, about Peeping Tom, which I think critics particularly didn't like, was it quite explicitly is identifying you with the sadistic, voyeuristic murderer, a man who can only kill his victims whilst he's watching them through his camera. You know, it's taking away this safety net of saying, you know, oh, it's okay, we're watching this through the lens of the camera and whatever, you know, it puts us at a distance. We're watching some fictional thing unfolding, so we're not really like voyeurs. But in Peeping Tom, he's making this explicit. He's making you, because you are seeing through the same lens as the murderer what he is seeing as he engages in the act of murder. What he wants to see is the look of agony on the reaction on the faces of those murder victims, who are all young women. And it's making you complicit in this act, whether you like it or not. And it makes some people now feel very uncomfortable, because this is the naked truth of film. It's all about voyeurism. It's a natural, innate need, I think, in us as human beings, as I say, to peer into other people's lives, to watch, to observe. Perhaps it comes from being predators, you know, a predatory past of our ancestors as they hunted. Look at cats, for instance. Cats spend lots of, domestic cats spend lots of time just observing, just watching the world go by, because, you know, they're sizing up the situation. And, you know, you watch them, they'll sit in windows and watch people walk past, and very attentively. They love to watch the cats, and it's part of being a predator. It's because when they hunt, they have to be very patient and sit and watch, sometimes for hours, waiting for their prey to appear, you know, to lull them into a false sense of security that they can come out of their burrow or the little mouse or whatever, and then the cat's got them. Maybe that's what it is with us. It's some deep-based instinct we're tapping into, and film recognises this because it makes it the ultimate observer. Because in film, of course, as well, I mean, either it can be very intimate, like Peeping Tom, where you're specifically identifying with this single character when he commits these acts of murder, or it can be more universal. Suddenly you're a godlike observer, peering into every aspect of these people's lives, roaming often across an entire city from one location to another, seeing these things, seeing things that no one else would see, seeing things that other characters in the film aren't aware of. Thereby you've got some privileged knowledge, thanks to your act of cinematic voyeurism. So, yes, film. As I say, it's just reinforcing that whole voyeuristic instinct in us. And, just glancing the rear view mirror. Oh, bloody hell. Oh, police cars. Just get, no, sorry. I'm going to have to go back. Let's make my getaway. Let's see how the saint is doing.
Come in.
Hi, Mr. Templer.
Oh, Louis, I forgot you were coming up.
Friend of yours?
Who?
The gentleman who's laying down dead outside your door.
No, we'd barely met.
Oh, well, that's nice. You ready to leave now?
Oh, your cab, first of all. Interesting. We'd better stop here.
Out, huh?
Out.
How about getting in amongst the trees?
That's an idea.
Yeah, except how good is it? They ran out of trees just here. We're going to hate ourselves in the morning?
Well, that will depend.
Oh, I don't mind if you do.
With pleasure.
Oh, that was the back door. Oh.
But of the highest class.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Really, it's nasty of us.
Okay, I've decided to go for the real safety factor now, with my stalking and voyeurism. I'm perched precariously now on the sink in my bathroom, peering out the top light of the bathroom window with a pair of binoculars, looking just if I get the angle right, and too much of the tree doesn't get in the way. I can just see into the bedroom of an attractive female neighbour across the back from me. So, yeah. Oh, not much going on though. But getting back to this stalking business. I mean, joking aside about it, what is it that fascinates me with the whole stalking voyeurism business, you may well ask? It fascinates me because it's the form of aberrant behaviour that most of us have most opportunity to fall into, sometimes without even realising it. Because a lot of so-called stalking is the result of one individual's obsession with another. Often it's like a relationship, sometimes only an imagined relationship, but sometimes a relationship gone wrong. And I'm sure we've all been there, though, where we see someone we believe we've fallen in love with, or maybe we were in love with them, but we just can't accept that we don't have any real relationship, we can't make any real connection with them. And this sort of obsessional behaviour of trying to contrive meetings with them often, and being places we know they'll be and so on, and watching them from afar and whatever. It's a way of creating a pathetic, false relationship with them. Yet, on some level, we believe this will satisfy us, but of course it never does and never will. And most of this is harmless. It never, I mean, you know, we realise we're being foolish, you know, that the other person isn't interested really, and we give up and we move on in our lives. But it's when people can't do that or don't do that, it goes over the edge and becomes something sinister. And, you know, I mean, as I say, I mean, it doesn't just have to be based on a personal relationship. Look at all these people who become obsessed with celebrities. And again, up to a point it's harmless, you know, like teenage girls might be obsessed with some teen idol or something, and they might write fan letters and collect pictures and what. It's all pretty harmless. As long as it goes further, doesn't it? You know, sort of kidnap attempts and whatever. And again, it's an obsession. And again, the feeling that if only you could connect with them somehow, contrive some meeting or something, connect with them in some way, you could have some kind of meaningful relationship with them. But again, it's never going to happen. But of course, it's not us mere mortals prone to this. I mean, you know, you get the odd celebrity, usually sort of particularly B or C list ones, who themselves aren't on the receiving end of stalking. They themselves become stalkers through obsessional behaviour, don't they? I mean, there was the, what's his name, Andy Kershaw, the DJ, who got various restraining orders his ex-wife has got against him because he kept going over to the Isle of Man and harassing her, allegedly. And again, the case couldn't accept the relationship was over. And it was another case mentioned recently that self-styled comedian, West Country comedian, Justin Lee Collins had been sort of arrested or something to do with allegedly stalking an ex of his. You know, I don't know. Good times, perhaps he kept going around saying, oh, it's going to have good times. So, I mean, I have to be careful because apparently it hasn't gotten to court, so I have to be very careful not to sort of say anything like prejudice the case, except to say, you know, that all goes wrong for Justin Lee Collins. He could find himself sharing a cell with a very large man who's sort of saying to him, oh, good times, Justin, good times. Yes, he sort of runs his fingers through Justin Lee Collins's long locks. that's for old Justin. Bad times. But... sorry, I'm messing with too much. Otherwise, I'm going to... Oh, I could fall off this... Oh, ow, gee, just cut to something out. Sorry. Oh.
This is taking place by wireless violations all over the world.
Also lasers. Laser technology to the eyes or hallucination type things.
One time I was at the store and I had to lay there for like 2 hours for this stuff to wear off.
They target areas of your brain.
Affecting me emotionally because they could hit different parts of my brain.
The typical symptoms now are chatter 16 hours per day.
They have some type of microchip or plasma communication device in my eye. They are able to see what you see by advanced communication devices and wireless devices such as eye scans. How they're able to target you in your house through the wall radar without coming inside your house.
I was having levitation of some of my body parts.
I think somehow they're trying to possibly cook you from the inside out, you know, with these microwaves.
I had no control over these things happening, and I didn't know what it was.
Sometimes the symptoms feel like pinpricks and or possibly vibrations on the body.
was like radio frequency or something moving me.
It's like I'm in a recliner with some kind of vibrating attachment to it, and I don't have a clue what that's about.
Remote viewing, where a person can be watched in their homes. Shocks given to the body, paralyzation of the body. Levitation of body parts. They can cause people to want to commit suicide. My eyes were being pulled, yanked to look at the same thing over and over. I was getting voice-to-skull transmissions using a lot of foul, disturbing language. Gang stalking, where people are followed around. Careers and jobs ruined.
One day I heard, "You are always talking to yourself."
You notice it's pulsing? It's like it'll come up through the bed, through wood, through chairs, and everything in there. There were things like the smell of toxic chemicals that no one else would recognize when they came in.
These are some of the regions that they target on a victim. These are vital spots targeted on the body.
Well, that was Personal Electronics by Stephen Ball, which I found over on thewonderfularchive.org. He has a number of similar pieces there. I want to look them up if you enjoyed that. I mean, that, as you've obviously probably gathered through listening to it, is like a sound collage or montage of statements and testimonies by people who believe they've been victims of stalking, the other side of stalking, set to an electronic background track, and it does highlight the other side of stalking. I mean, okay, I've spent the best part of this broadcast basically taking the piss, sort of being rather jocular about the whole business of stalking and surveillance, but for many, obviously, from the other side, it isn't so funny. If you are a genuine victim of stalking, it's not much fun. It's obviously very stressful, very sinister. Or if you, for people who suffer from persecution complexes, in this modern surveillance society we live in, with CCTV cameras on every street corner, and the tales of phone hacking now from the press, and of course things like reality TV apparently legitimising and normalising the concept of surveillance, just serves to fuel the complexes of these people, and apparently confirm all their worst fears. So, maybe is there a point to all this, you ask? Well, I don't know, perhaps there is. I'd like to think there is. I haven't just wasted my time here. The point, if there is one that I'm making, is that maybe instead of trying to live our lives vicariously and spending our time watching each other and strangers and God knows what else, perhaps we should just try something really radical, really like just getting on and living our own lives. Because, you know, funny enough, that can be remarkably satisfying and far less dangerous both to ourselves and others. So there you go. That's our little moral for the day. So there you have it. That's another Sleaze Cast done and dusted. As ever, I was Doc Sleaze. This was the Sleaze Cast. And, well, join us again next time, whenever that is. Bye for now.